right, let's open our Bibles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. We'll be moving a lot of places, God willing, tonight. Now, last week, once again, we were reveling and thanking God in how he cares for us. And as the Lord had me to express the thankfulness of that brother telling me, brother, his longing for us, how he longs for us, how wonderful it is that we're coming into more and more knowledge of it. And that's the excitement and the love that we reciprocate back to him, is understanding this great love from ages past that gave us every provision, every bit of power, everything perfectly to perform the good work which he began. And thank you, Lord, that here we are, the evidence of his grace. Hallelujah. But throughout the study of these perfect kings, what we're seeing is these perfect hearts of these kings express the depth of grace and express it in many metaphors and types and shadows of the bride that the Lord, in his great grace, is making ready for himself. And thanks be to God, here we are. And here she is. And I thank God for that. Because that's what his grace and the fullness of his grace will only produce. Not what it will produce, but it will only produce that. I thank God, the fullness preaching of his grace, the fullness of it, will always bring forth, it will always produce the bride for the Lamb of God. Always. Praise his name. And here's what we have, because we have this wonderful gospel that was given to Paul, this mystery that was hidden from the sons of men, from the prophets. But it says they wrote those things for us. And no matter what we're reading, brothers and sisters, the layers that are within the Word of God, the layers underneath the stories on the surface, which are glorious beyond, amen? But the layers become not just glorious, but captivatingly glorious, amazingly lovely. The love story begins to come forth, but once again, and it was sweet to visit with his sister this evening, the need, the essential need of the Holy Ghost to give us those enlightened eyes of understanding that we then can see it. And then the perfection of the Word of God, how beautiful it is. And, you know, the bridal message was not made known in the Old Testament. And the reason was, is there were many, there was one big reason. They didn't have, at that time, they didn't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost in the purpose of being led into all truth. Amen. There you go. The Holy Ghost was there. The Holy Ghost even did come into different ones, whether it was Samson at times, for a specific powerful purpose. Well, that's exactly what the Holy Ghost has come into our life for, a specific powerful purpose. Matter of fact, the best, better thing that there's ever been, to bring forth, praise God, the faith, to bring forth the faith in the bride for the Lamb of God. And it really is the most powerful thing if you really step back and think about it. You mean you really believe this word tells you that you're going to rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ forever, that you're going to be glorified together with him equally in the midst of that throne forever? Let me tell you something, that's power. And only the Holy Ghost can give us that Holy Ghost faith. And that is, it's that Holy Ghost, wonderful, set apart faith. And this is what we enjoy. But again, last week we had that evidence of that mystery that we were rejoicing in, that here in Chronicles 29:16, as the Lord has brought forth to us, Hezekiah being such a wonderful type and shadow of the Old Testament full overcomers. we see when he opened up the temple, because what had happened was when these wicked kings would get in there, there was so much defiling of God. They would even use the temple of the Lord for pagan gods. They would put the pagan gods in there. They took out the things of the Lord. It said that they even destroyed the doors of the temple. It was just left in shambles. But here came the Lord in his grace upon King Hezekiah. And it said that he followed the Lord as his father David did, the benchmark of the perfect-hearted king. And once again, I just love that because it's David. David who really did some, he had some really moments. We can go right into the law and say, well, David did that, and David did this, and David did this, and he broke that law, and this law, and that law. But he always had the perfect heart. He did. Because even in failure, he sought the Lord perfectly. He did. He trusted in the mercy of the Lord. That's the perfect heart. Knowing this depth of grace and love for your life, that the Lord, beyond anything that you could ever do, his purpose is for you to rule and to reign with him jointly together. Praise the Lord. So, here we see that in the 16th verse, the very first thing that Hezekiah does when he opens the temple is he brings in the priests. And how beautiful, because that was the foreshadow of when Christ would open up many. Well, let's go ahead and turn there. Let's go and turn to Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. Now, when Jesus, praise God, he cries, Telio, and he gives up the ghost. And it says, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. At that moment, it says in verse 52, and the graves were opened. What graves were opened? Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, isn't that beautiful? Because it gives us another foreshadow of a time that the dead in Christ, those that sleep, will rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive shall be and remain shall be caught up into the clouds together or into the air with them. Amen. So we're thankful to God. The Lord is showing this is that he can open heaven, close heaven, do all these different things. But here is what he's done with the full overcomers of the Old Testament. He's showing us in like manner. He's raising them. And he is. And what happened? It says, and the graves were opened. And now notice this. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Didn't say all of them, did it? Uh-uh. He didn't just say, well, you know what? We're bringing all those believers of the Old Testament. We're going to bring them to heaven at the same time. Uh-uh. Many of them, but not all of them. See how that works? See, there were ranks even in the Old Testament. There were full overcomers of the Old Testament, just like there'll be full overcomers of the New Testament. And that's called the bride of Christ. You got the bride, you have the innumerable multitude, you have the 144,000. That makes up the church, praise be to God. But they're in a different rank, a different order. They come into heaven at different times. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is showing us right here. And it says, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Praise God. So what we have there is we have the full overcomers of the Old Testament. We see them in Revelation 24. Those are the 24 elders, the priestly number. And that's why it's so beautiful. And Hezekiah, he put in the priests first into the temple. The temple kind of showing like heaven. So the Lord brings in the priests, the full overcomers of the Old Testament, into heaven at that time. And those are the friends of the bridegroom that are sitting with him right now, waiting for the next opening of heaven. That's right. See, heaven's going to open again here shortly. It could be tonight. We're really hoping it is. Now, this next opening is what we've seen with Josiah. He opens the temple, once again, that type of Jesus opening heaven. And what he brings in isn't the priests. Turn on over to chapter 34. And yes, these are things to go over because I hope that the glory only grows more. And you can see it in just more fullness. Praise God. You know, sometimes you have to go over these things more than once. like until you see his face again and again and again. Amen? So, in chapter 34, verse 9 of 2 Chronicles, this is when Josiah opens up the temple. It says, and when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh, the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. So this is what's so beautiful, is when Josiah opens up the temple, or this type of opening up heaven again, this one that we're waiting for right now, when Jesus opens up the heavens, amen, it's not going to be the priests, because the priests are already there. Those are the 24 elders. They're there. Praise God. And matter of fact, when he opened it up, it was Hilkiah the high priest, in a sense the priests again, that are going to receive. And what did they receive? The money. And we've went over this. That word money in the Hebrew, it means gold, but most exactly it means the thing longed for. The thing longed for was brought in. The pearl of great price was brought in. The bride for the Lamb is brought in. And praise God, she's received by Jesus Christ and the priests. Amen. Praise God. And it is beautiful. It's glorious. Because he wrote all of these things, and they're woven, and they're seamless. It's one, and it never changes, and it's exact. And it's just so exciting, because you see how gloriously we are loved. And here's what's so beautiful. When you go study the word elect in the New Testament, the elect of God, you know what that word elect means in the Greek? The thing longed for. You're the thing longed for. Praise God. This is why he gives you this message. This is why he's given you this believing and faith in his grace. This great, great grace. The pearl of great price is about ready to go home. Hallelujah. Now notice here as we go on with verse 9, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And my wife did encourage me, honey, slow down a little bit. Make sure you get all the verses right. We're going to try. I can't guarantee anything. You know what happens when you get excited. But what you see here is that the money was specifically gathered, if you will, from the hand of the tribe of Manasseh, from the tribe of Ephraim, and the remnant of Israel, and then it brings out Judah and Benjamin. Now, there's a really precious encouragement that we have right here, is because what this is we're at the doors of the entrance of heaven. And if you go over, which we did last Wednesday, to Revelation 21:19, when the bride descends from heaven having the glory of God, okay? What it begins to speak about is the foundations, the stones of the city. And you'll notice in verse 19, the very first three precious stones that are mentioned are jasper, the second one is sapphire, and the third one is chalcedony, okay? Those three stones are the three stones of the tribe of Manasseh, of Ephraim, and Benjamin. It's beautiful. And what's so really beautiful about it is because those stones were the last stones on the breastplate. Those three tribes were not at the entrance of the city, or actually, I should say, of the tabernacle. They were on the very back side of it. But we're talking about the time that the bride's taken home, and they're going to be right at the front, just like they were right at the front to receive, praise be to God, the thing longed for from Josiah. And it just, again, just that beautiful, those little tiny things. How do I love thee? Let me show you how detailed it is. And it is just the perfection. And brothers and sisters, that's what eternity's for. Because this is all that there is. And it will never be exhausted. And we're going to have a body like unto his own glorious body. I'll tell you, to get into the details of it, or we would even come apart, praise God. So we see this, and we see that he's just letting us know in such love how perfect the order has always been, always will be, and especially when we come in. Now, going back to 2 Chronicles 29, we then went on with the life of Hezekiah and seen such glorious, again, encouragement of bridal mystery that was hidden in these stories. And what was so beautifully brought out by the Holy Ghost last week was there in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 29:20, where it says, "Then Hezekiah the king rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord." Now, when the Lord touched my heart, said, "Now, honey, I want you to go do in-depth," it didn't have to take too long, "but let's go find out really what the Hebrew words mean in these things, and let's let the Holy Ghost just put those things together for you." So you can read verse 20 like this: "Then Hezekiah the king rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, went up to the house of the Lord." That's exciting. This is a man that loves the Lord. He's brought the people together. We're going to the house of the Lord, and we're going to find out this is all about worship. Everything that was on this man's heart was worship. And that is the perfect heart. And what is that worship? It's drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. This is bridal love. This is the expression of bridal love. And the beautiful thing about a perfect heart, it wasn't just for him. It was for everybody. He wanted everyone to partake. He didn't just want the ones that he liked. He wanted everybody to partake. And that's the glorious thing about the love of Jesus. When it's really full in your life, as Brother Hill would say, the love of God, it makes you love everybody. And it does when it's full. Now, here's what it really reads in the Hebrew: "The strength of Jehovah on the glory dawning morning harvested the rulers, the choice rank, of full joy, and were taken up to the double portion, New Jerusalem." That is exactly how that reads. If you go in on, I'm telling you, okay? Now, I've read that quite a few times over my years, and I've always loved studying the Kings. The Lord's never touched my heart to go in there to do that. But he says, "It's time, son. This is where I brought you. We're here. This is what you're going to enjoy with my flock." And I said, "Lord, I'm so thankful, great shepherd. You keep taking us on." But isn't that glorious? The strength of Jehovah. That's Hezekiah's name. The strength of Jehovah on the glory dawning morning. That's that rose up early, the glory dawning morning, harvested, gathered the rulers. That word rulers means the choice rank, all right? Isn't that beautiful? Gathered the choice rank, the rulers, and went up. They were taken up. But here's what's so beautiful. It said the rulers of the city, and I missed that word, I apologize. That word city, it means euphoria, excitement, joy. So he takes the choice rank of full joy. See, you've heard it. Icy back, mossy back in a pew. I'm sorry, I don't believe it. I don't believe your full joy. I don't believe your full joy when you sit and you're just a grump. I don't. If I sat across the table from my wife, and I just was like, I don't love you. I don't. I see dove's eyes. You have dove's eyes? You want dove's eyes. Because those are the eyes of the bride that look back at her bridegroom. That's the truth. They're not over here and they're not over there. They're not looking over there. You know what they do? They look at one another. Yes, they do. Take it, saints. I do love you, I promise. Now, all of this was for one purpose. Everything about what's going on here and what Hezekiah is about is worship. Worship. Draw nigh in fervent love to kiss. Listen to those words. That's the definition of worship in the Greek. drawing nigh, drawing close. You know, this isn't a peck. This is fervent love, okay? To kiss. This is that embrace. That's let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Amen? And let him go at you. Let him love you. Be easy to love. You want to give him that agape love thanks kiss that she's about ready to give him. Praise God. Now, so it was for one purpose. It was that worship. And it's always that way. The worshiper, the true worshiper, worships him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Let's go on over to John 4:23. See, this is the desire of the Father. This is the desire of the Father for his Son. And that's John chapter 4, verse 23. And again, this is the expression of what's coming forth, because here in John we have the moment that the Lord is going to ascend and send the Holy Ghost. And this Holy Ghost is going to bring forth the hearts of the true worshipers. Because only the Holy Ghost can take the love of Christ and shed that abroad in your heart. Amen? So we see again how perfectly this fits together. So it says there in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers, the true lovers, the true ones that are in love, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. It's glorious. And this is where we're at. This is who we are. And I thank the Lord for Sunday, because this is exactly what that agape love thanks is. You understand that? And I can just tell you, it's not that we just bring him the agape love thanks. You are the agape love thanks. You're the noun. You're it. You're the thanksgiving that's flying off that altar. Praise the Lord. Thank him for that. I mean, it's all just wonderfully one. That's what the bride gives. That's what the bride is to the bridegroom. Praise God. Perfect completion here. So that's exactly what's on the heart of Hezekiah. It's the worship that would be brought back to the temple. And just as importantly for himself was for the people. Now, let's go on with more of these bridal glories, more of this worship, drawing nigh in fervent love. And let's jump on over to verse 28 of chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles. So let's go back to 2 Chronicles 29. Let's go over to 28. So again, all of that kind of in between is all about the worship. It's all about the offerings. It's all about these things there. But getting to verse 28, it says, and all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. So here we see, thank the Lord. You think of the faithfulness of the Lord that has placed this same worship and this love of worship in our hearts, brothers and sisters. Isn't it so glorious that we have the Word of God as we sit through a service, but we want to come down here. We want to worship, and we want to worship every service, and you want all to come down to worship. You really do. And it's glorious. There's nothing sweeter to our hearts than to see us gathered together. And you know, it is. It's a type and shadow of those that were in the upper room. We're waiting for that call of the bridegroom, and we're worshiping him together. Thank you, Jesus. But going on here, so that was verse 29, it says, and when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves down and worshiped. Isn't that glorious? See, again, the purpose of it all, the whole point of this was to gather the ones together to worship him. And then 30, moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of who? David, the perfect heart king. The benchmark of it all. It's like us. What songs do we sing in the grace and glory? The songs of the Apostle Paul. Amen? Those are the words of Paul. These are the words of David. It is not a man, but it's a heart. See, it's the heart. And David was the benchmark heart of the Old Testament. Paul is the benchmark heart of the New Testament. Praise the Lord. That's what we have. You talk about the double portion we have. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The hearts were the same. The revelation was just more at the time of the Apostle Paul. And the Lord had given even the more grace and given us the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But you thank the Lord, the passion's the same. It's still going to be the one that pants after him like a deer pants for the water. Amen? So this is what we have here. And so he says, we're going to sing with the words of David and Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness. And what did they do? They bowed their heads and they worshiped. Thank God. Isn't that glorious? They worshiped him. Okay, let's go on. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near, bring the sacrifices and thanksgiving. Did you see that too? They worshiped first, then there was action. It was a heart that was in the right state. Then something could be done. It wasn't go through motions and then let's worship the Lord. It was let's worship the Lord. Let's love. And then let the love of God cause us to have him to will and do of his good pleasure in us. Amen? See, the worship was first. It didn't follow. The worship continues. So come near and bring sacrifices and thanksgiving into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and I love that, and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, 100 rams, 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering of the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. This was getting full. And we haven't even hit Josiah's yet, because it even exceeded this. But this is how full this is. Now, I'll tell you what. This is the more worship and the more worship and the more worship. Get ready for these next verses. But the priests were too few. The priests were too few. So that they could not flay all the burnt offering. They couldn't prepare it. There are too few of them, all right? Wherefore, their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offering and of the drink of the offering for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. We're going to wait for verse 36. But did you see that there? The Levites did help them because the priests were too few. And it said, and the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. Now, when you start reading stuff like that, the Lord's saying, you better pay attention to what I'm really saying here. So that's when the Holy Ghost stops you again. And here we go. So there was so much joy for the blood in Hezekiah's heart. He loved that. You know how they've been taking songs out in Christian churches, anything about the blood? It's hard to find songs about the blood anymore. My goodness, we should sing about the blood all the time. Amen? Without blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the blood, you don't have anything. You want a mercy seat? You better put the blood on that mercy seat or you don't have any mercy. It's just a seat. You got to have the blood. Hallelujah. That's what it is. Now, so there were so many animals, the priests were too few, they had to bring in the Levites. Now let's think about this. The priests were from the line of Aaron, all right? They came from the line of Aaron. Those were the priests. All priests are Levites because that's from the tribe of Levi, all right? But all Levites obviously weren't priests. Amen? Okay. What then was the difference between the Levite and the priest? Well, the priest would go in there and they would do the different things within the tabernacle and obviously within the Holy of Holies, the high priest would do that. So there were actions that they did. But the Levites, they were different. They supported the work of the priests. They were also the ones that studied the word of God. They were the ones that taught the word of God. Isn't that interesting? And they were the ones that were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. You see that? Didn't necessarily might have had as great a title, but I think they had a better part because of what was produced. Now, get this. The word Levi means to be joined to the husband. Is that incredible? I never knew that. Did you know that? The word Levi, the root word of that, it means to be joined to the husband. Joined or crowned. That's beautiful. Come on. So the priests were too few. They were, and that means too little. So more had to be brought in. The much, the more. And that's exactly who the bride is. She's enough. Amen, she is. She completes the word of God, right? Amen, she does. Let's go and read that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1. And this is so glorious too. And this sweet sister we were visiting with a little bit about the deeper things of God. This is such a wonderful portion of scripture here. Reading from verse 24 of Colossians chapter 1. This is Apostle Paul speaking. And who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And what does Paul say? Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation which of God, which is given to me for you. Okay? And what was it for? To fulfill the word of God, to complete the word of God. And who's the word of God? Jesus. And I love that. What was given to Paul completes Jesus. And what completes him is his wife. What completes him, praise God, to take the throne as God, is the only thing that he's waiting for today, is his wife. He sits at the right hand until he has his wife, and then he will take the throne as God. That's why, again, the 24 elders say, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor. And they don't say thanks, they say power. Because they see Jesus taking the throne. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Now, the Levites, it says they were more upright than the priests. What does that mean? Straight up, more righteous and more pleasing. Isn't that glorious? That's his good pleasure. That's the bride. That's why Paul says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, an exalted rank of righteousness. They were more righteous. The bride will be more righteous. Every child of God, though, is fully righteous. Isn't that interesting? Amen. Every child of God is a grace saint. Really? Yes. Every child of God is saved by grace. Every child of God. That's why I say, well, they're a grace saint. Well, there's no such thing that isn't a grace saint. They're all grace saints. But have you grown up fully in the grace of God? Just like every child of God is fully righteous. But how much righteousness has grown up? That's why the Word of God says that we would grow up into him and all of him. And into the measure and the stature and the fullness. I mean, the words that are used in the Word of God to express how much is a cup that's so full and overflowing. It doesn't say to just be like him, but to like him in measure and stature and fullness unto a perfect man. Perfect, complete. Not perfect in the way man thinks of what a perfect religious man is. That's a fake. That's a fake. The real perfect heart is a David. It's true. It's true. It's the ones that are the woman at the well. It's the woman at his feet that the others are saying you wouldn't let her touch her if you knew who she was. No, I know her heart. Get out of here. And I thank God that I pray that that's what we treasure, because when you're in love with someone, you really are in love with what they love. Hallelujah. Now, it truly is his good pleasure. And let's go ahead and we'll read out tonight, verse 36. You got to read this one, 2 Chronicles. We'll read that last verse. It says, "And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people." So read that again. "Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly." And I'll leave you with this. God prepared, you know what that means? God determined, God made ready, God accomplished. Those are some familiar words, aren't they? We rejoice in those words all the time, don't we? That's what that word prepared means in the Hebrew. Determined. See, God determined you. You understand that? That's what predestinated means. Whom he foreknew, he's determined. When God's determined, that's pretty determined. And what was he determined? To make ready. And what was he determined to make ready? And accomplish it. Amen. See? And when was it done? Suddenly. In an instant. In the twinkling of an eye. He loves his saints. He loves us so. And there isn't any other gospel. There's nothing else to preach. And I thank the Lord. This is what we demand. Demand it, saints. Always. Till he come. Amen. Let's stand, be dismissed. Praise God.